We left off yesterday. We are some more pleasant psukim. Psukim of Yemois HaMashiach. Okay, page 482. So we started yesterday Pasuk Aleph. We did pass out Pasuk Beis. We are now at the Pasuk Beis. Pasuk V'holchu Goyim Rabim V'amru. And all the nations will go. And they will say, L'chuvin ale el har Hashem. Let us ascend the har Hashem, the obeis elokei Yaakov, v'yareinu midrachav, and they will teach us from their ways, v'nelcha v'or choysav. Two different expressions. Drachav, their ways, and or choysav. What is the difference? I don't know. We'll have to see more precisely in a few moments. Ki mitzioin, here is the famous pasuk. Ki mitzioin teitze sarah. Udvar Hashem Mirushalayim. Okay, this is, notice it's not a whole pasuk. It's only half of a pasuk, which is very problematic because we have a general rule called Psukot Lepaskin Moshe Anan Lepaskin. And there's a prohibition to recite a half a pasuk. Question, does that apply only to Chamishe Chumshe Torah, or does that apply as well to Nevi'im and Kisuvim? So obviously the issue is less. It doesn't go away entirely. It's not as severe as reciting a half of a pasuk in Chumash, but it is an issue. And here we have only half this expression that was so common to us. I think most people are shocked. They can go their whole life not realizing that it's only half a pasuk. It's not the entire pasuk. That's not a pasuk altogether. Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech does not exist. That's a composite. There's no such pasuk. Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimlech is a pasuk. Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimlech, that's in the Shira. Hashem Yimlech, Lilam, where's there? There is no pasuk. And that's the only expression in Yehi Chavoyit, and it could even be in the entire Pesukei de Zimra, that's not a pasuk. The whole Psuk de Zimra are basically psukim. They're all psukim.
The one that's the biggest problem that we deal with is by here, by Voke, Yom HaShishi, by Kiddush.
That's in the middle. That's why you spoke.
But that they, the Mepharshim write, there's a reason for that, because the beginning of the Pasuk, is the reference is Misa.
They don't want to mention it.
That's what I read in one of the Sfarim. They don't want to mention Misa when you're making Kiddush Friday night. So they start and give you a phrase that at least gives you a sense of the pasuk without saying the whole pasuk, and that's why it's left out.
Interesting. I never heard that. Okay.
Yeah.
Some it is brought down in some Sephardim that you should say the entire pasuk just quietly.
That's in the Kol Makadosh Shvi. It says the halacha is you're supposed to say by Aral Kimis Kol Asherasso. I know people that do that.
Right.
They say the whole pasuk.
Same thing as Shabbos day by Kiddush.
Right.
Meikar Hadin. You don't have to say anything other than Borei Pri HaGafen.
Right.
So many people have a minute, they say psukim. Some start with imtoshiv. Very few people start with imtoshiv. Some sidurim do not even have it. And then it's fairly common to start with v'shomeru.
Right.
Or to start at least zochor es yom ha-shabbos l'kadosh. But the Mishnah Berurah says the person should not start with al-kein berach es yom ha-shabbos v'yikadoshei. Because it's in the middle of a pasuk. So at least start at the beginning of that pasuk. Or don't say anything. You can just say Borei Pri HaGafen. That's all you need to say. Meikar Hadin. That's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. I won't spend a lot of time on this, and not everyone agrees with the Mishnah Berurah. There are definitely sources that say that it's not the end of the world for you to begin in the middle of the pasuk. The expression you're not saying it as a pasuk. You're saying it as an expression. There are poskim that are very lenient with this in this matter, and they say there's no issue. You can start even Alkein Berach, but it's not being said as a pasuk, it's based as an expression. Now that is more of a problem, my Kiddush by day, because there is a pasuk in Chumash. And likewise in the evening, Vayer Vayevoker Yoim HaShishi, that is the middle of a pasuk. Whereas here, Ki Mitzayin Teitzei Surot Vashanim Shaloyim is not a pasuk, it is in Nevi'im, it's not in Chamishei Chumashei Torah. Okay, let's see the Mitzvah Stavid. It's a very long pasuk. There's a lot of things going on in this pasuk based on the Mitzvah Stavid. V'holchu goyel goy. The Amru Elu Lelu is a very beautiful interpretation. Very beautiful interpretation. If you're not filling out the Mitzvah Stavid, you would assume that when it says V'holchu Goyim Rabin V'yamaru. Who are they speaking to? They're speaking to us. They're speaking to Klal Yisrael. They're going to go, and they're going to say, L'chu, let us go, V'nalel Har Hashem. You would think that they're going to say either to Hashem, or they're going to speak to us, and they're basically asking permission. They're coming to ask permission from Klal Yisrael, can we please come and visit you, ascend to Yerushalayim to learn in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's possibly what you would assume. Along comes the Mitzvah Stavri, he says it's not Pshat. They say to each other. That means that the Goyim aren't speaking terms with each other. It's not so easy to have a pleasant conversation between two nations. Not every nation is on speaking terms with each other. Yet it says here, V'holchu goy al goy, V'amru elu li'elu. Everyone's going to talk to each other. V'yoreinu hamokoyim yilamei sanu al yidei yidei hatar mehashem. Who is V'yoreinu? May he teach us. So again, you would assume that it means that Klal Yisrael will teach us. That's not what they're saying according to the Mitzvah Stavet. Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam himself will teach us through Klal Yisrael. Al Yidei Yidei HaTaira Midrachav Ma Midrachav. What's the mem? Another, everything over here, the Mitzvah Stavet says Zechidr. I don't think it's the obvious what we would read. Ma Midrachav, something from his word. In other words, he'll teach us something. Ma Epis, something will teach us. Ki mitzion, ki atara, ho amitiyos, hi hayaitzeis mitzion. The aim zulasa ba'ilam, the true Torah. The true Torah goes forth from Tzion. He adds another word into the pasuk that does not say. The Teras MS. Where did it say the word MS in the pasuk? Nowhere. He injected that. Hayaitzeis mitzion, the aim zulasa ba'ilam, is nothing else in the world besides it. So if we read the pasuk again, let's go back to the pasuk and read inside according to what we have just learned. The holuchu, they will go. Where will they go? Goyim rabim, to each other. There will be a meeting in the United Nations, and the topic of discussion will be among all the nations is how to plan to go in a responsible way to Yerushalayim to study Torah. The holuchu goyim rabim. The goyim rabim will first come to the United States of America, to Manhattan, and create gridlock alert to go. You think you can't find parking here? You'll be able to find parking anywhere in the whole New York City because the goyim are going to go first. They're going to have a conversation amongst themselves, and they're going to talk one another. Everyone they'll say amongst themselves, "Luchu, let us go." V'nale el har Hashem. They'll base Elokei Yaakov. V'yareinu. And Hashem will teach us. How will Hashem teach us? Through his messengers. Who are they? Klal Yisrael. Mi derachav. He takes the word mi and he makes believe it says the word sma. Means something. We're not necessarily shayach to understand kol ha-Torah kula, but there's something in the Torah that is relevant for us. V'nelcha v'orcha yisav will go in his ways. Because there's nothing emes in the world, there is no truth left in this world other than the Torah, Udvar Hashem Mirushalayim, which he does not really translate in the Mitzudos. Okay, now if you look at the Mitzudos, Tzion, interesting. Chododi, Likras Kala, Hinei Shabbos. In the Kala together. Okay, interesting. Okay. But that's over the Klal Yisrael, because Klal, we say to each other, let's go out. Right, okay, very good. I have a lot of material on Kabbalah Shabbos, that journal that I mentioned to you called Kankan. It has a continuous series on the origins of Kabbalah Shabbos. It's very, very fascinating. Hopefully one day we'll talk about, we mentioned Kabbalah Shabbos. Okay, now let's look. Let's just take note over here. The Mitzvah Siyam, that Luchu means Hu Inyan Lashon Zeruz. Luchu does not just mean casually. Luchu means, according to the Mitzvah Siyam, it has a connotation of an emergency. Zeruz. They're going to be diligent, swift in their will to carry out their plan to go to Yerushalayim immediately. They're not going to we'll probably have a timetable of 5-10 years. Now, let's do this immediately. Okay, v'yareinu in Indian limud, the word v'yareinu means to learn. Now let's take a look at Rashi. There is no Rashi. The Mardak. Mardak pasuk beis. V'holchu v'yamru kol goyo malacha v'yroi luchu v'nale. Same thing as the mitzudos. V'yareinu midrochav ki mitzion teitzei sora. Ze divrei hanavi l'divrei ha'amim. Now, here it comes out that the Radak is coming to disagree with the Mitzudos David. Who is the one that said, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sora Dvar Shami Mishloim? We say this every day. We say this Kimat very, very often. No. I always thought it meant, Ki Mitzion Teitzei, it's the words of the prophet. Or it's the words of Hashem. These are words that are uttered, that originated by the Navi, who is speaking. Who's speaking from Hashem? So it's coming from Micha. Micha is the one who composed these words. Maybe I'm making a mistake. Maybe this pasuk appears somewhere else. Maybe it could be somewhere else. Maybe Yeshaya, according to Yeshaya. Maybe in Yeshaya it says as independent pasuk. Maybe I'm making a mistake. We'll look it up later. But at least Micha, you would assume that Micha is the one who composed these words with this holiness of Nevuah. Along comes the Mitzudos David, that we just read 1 moment ago, and he says a tremendous chiddush. Then no, who is the one that composed these words? The Umois Ha'olam will yet compose these words. This is a prophecy into the future. The one that will compose these words are the non-Jews. They will think, they're not going to be Bible scholars. They'll never have opened up a Tanakh. And on their own, they will say either these exact words or the equivalent, Ki mitzion teitzei seira udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, and as the Mitzudos David says, they will come to the realization there is no Torah, there is nothing emes, there is no truth in this world other than the Holy Torah, that is the property, or is that it was under the jurisdiction of Klal Yisrael. It's them, yeah? So it's very good then, Adarab, because it represents the contrast. The enemies that we're discussing only the, you say something amazing, the Umay Sa'olam, Chazal make it very clear, not every nation will be completely destroyed. There will be survivors. There will be non-Jews who will be survivors, either because they didn't do anything wrong, the Hasidei Umay Sa'olam, or obviously they didn't do enough wrong that they should deserve to perish, and they will have what to benefit from, and also likewise they will be the servants of Klal Yisrael, as it says in the Nevi'im. Kings will be your butlers.
But in this context, it's a really
no. So it's coming to contrast. Sure. The enemies.
There's no transitioning.
They're going to be our enemies. From the Umay Sa'olam, some of them will be obliterated. Kuma Hashem v'yafutsu oyevecha v'yanusu mitznecha miponecha. And then later we continue and we say, Ki mitzion teitzei sarah, the survivors of the Umay Sa'olam that are not included in Kuma Hashem v'yafutsu oyevecha, they will be here to serve us. And the first step in serving us is to acknowledge that there is no emes in this world other than the Torah. It's actually very beautiful what you're saying. We're only discussing the Umay Sa'olam, and some of them will be destroyed, and the survivors will appreciate Klal Yisrael. Okay, now, that's all very fine and good according to the Sudos. However, the Radak disagrees. The Radak wants to say, I think what most people, the average person who did not learn this, like me, the Radak seems to say is that these are the words of the Navi. These are not the words of the Umos Ha'olam. Going back to the Radak says, Ki mitzion ze divrei hanavi. Loi divrei ha'amim. He's directing his perush against people who Mitzudos was not born yet when the Radak wrote his commentary, but people who would want to suggest like what the Mitzudos would one day suggest. He's coming to clearly reject that approach. Kiloimar lama yoimru ha'amim luchu v'nale. V'yareidu midrachav ki mitzion teitzei sarah u mitzvah luchal ha'amim Now he has another idea that it's a mitzvah. Where do you get it's a mitzvah? Does he over here mean that it's a mitzvah like one of the Tayag mitzvahs? The Hamoyer who Melech HaMashiach, who's the teacher, who's the Vireinu, again, like, not like the Mitzudos, Melech HaMashiach, not Hashem, the Olav Omar, the Shafat, that's going to be the next pasuk. So another difference. When we read the Mitzudos and it says Vireinu, who will teach us? The Ribbono Shel Olam will teach us. How? Through Klal Yisrael. The Radak says, Vireinu, who will teach us? The Melech HaMashiach. Okay, so again, we have a very different approach to understand this pasuk. Who is saying what? Now, let's see the Malbim. Pasuk Beis, V'holchu goyim rabim yelchu v'yomu zeh lazeh. They will say to one another, L'chu atem v'nale imochem el har Hashem. They will say to each other, like we learned so far, let us go now, el har Hashem, mino har nelech el beis hamikdash. He's the only one who explains over here the repetition. Why does the first thing with the har? And then go to the Beis HaMikdash, because it's a progression. First you go to the Har, and from the Har you progress to the Beis HaMikdash. V'yareinu midrachav. In other words, it's a very beautiful idea. You have to go in stages. Life, there are no shortcuts. You can't jump, you can't skip. The only time you skip go is when you go to jail. Not when. Otherwise, there's no such thing as a shortcut in life. And even the Goyim appreciate that you first have to go in stages. The Kedusha of coming to Yerushalayim, and then later you go to the next Madrigal, you'll go to the Beis HaMikdash. V'yareinu midrachav ha-gedoylim. Now what does that mean? The great ways. V'nelcha mi'atzmenu b'orchai sof ha-paratim. So he gives us a new perush of the repetition. Ritzayinu lo'ymar, sha'al yidei she'yareinu shor she'dos ho'amitiyos. Once we learn the basic principles, v'yisoydoysof, then nishtadel lahasigam anofecha usifecha. We can then learn the branches and the smaller branches. So the mitzudos, so the Malbim has explained to us, the derech is the highway, the big roads, the roads that have many lanes. The orchoisav are the small paths, the service roads. We only need the Melech HaMashiach to teach us the big things. Once we understand the big things, we can figure out on our own the details, the small things. I remember once I heard Rabelsky wrote, he wrote is that someone wants at least to present him with Sefarim to give a Haskamas. The Sar Hamaskim. There are certain Gedolim, everyone comes to present their Sefer for Haskama. So it's called the Sar, the master of the Maskim. Like said, Sar Hamaskim, a play on the word. The Sar Hamashkim, the Sar who gives the drinks, who serves the drinks, the Sar Hamaskim, the one who gives Haskamas. So he says, someone presented it with a Sefer, a thick Sefer, the laws of reciting Netilas Yodayim by your bed. We're not discussing the laws of reciting Netilas Yodayim. The laws of how to say Netilas Yodayim when you wake up in the morning, when you have a Negelvasser right by your bed. Like the yeshiva boys, they get very excited, they have a Negelvasser by their beds. Do they remain with that Negelvasser container after they get married? Some of them do, okay, but many people, but they get a little bit older, they mellow, and they rely upon what it says in the Pesukim, that the entire bias is considered one virtual Dalid Amos. But if you go into a dormitory in yeshiva, you go to camp of yeshiva boys, you'll see everyone by their bed, peer pressure, they have right next to their bed, they have a negelvasser kit. When they get married, does the wife allow them to have that by their bed? I don't know. Who am I to say? I don't know what goes on, but I think people, they mellow by that age. Maybe not, maybe they're not supposed to. Alechatila. So someone went and presented him a whole book. So he didn't make Litzanis, but he was saying, like, you know, you don't need a whole book, an encyclopedia, for all of the halachas of how to wash Negelvasser by your bed. All you need are the klala, the general rules. You can fit the general rules on one page. And once you know the klalim, on your own, you'll figure out the pratim. You don't need a whole book to tell you all the details. Just know the pratim are nichlal, are included in the klolim, in the general rules. It's exactly what it says here according to the Malbim. The goyim are going to go, the goyim are come to Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah. So it says two words. The drachov, he will teach us midrachov. Vyareinu midrachov. V'nelcha be'orchais. It's a very beautiful dig from the Malbim. Why does it say the word vyareinu? He will teach us. We need a teacher for the drachov. But when it comes to the word be'orchaisav, which also is a road, it does not say we need a teacher. It says v'nelcha. We will go on our own. So the Malbim says, well, first let's understand the difference between the word derech and the oirach. A derech is the big road, the highway. The oirach, derech hamelech nelech. The oirach is the service road, the little side streets. All we need from the Melech HaMashiach is for him to teach us the klolim, the general rules. He'll lay down the general rules of life. Once we got the general rules of life, we on our own can figure out v'nelecha be'orchaisav, the details. We don't need to call up the Melech HaMashiach every 5 minutes and ask him simple questions. We can figure that out on our own, the answer to the simple question. Once we have the basic klalim, it's a very beautiful perush from the Malbim explaining. Now we go on. The third line in the Malbim, Pasuk Beis, return to Lema, Shaydei, She'areinu, Yishar, She'edos, Ha'amitiyim, V'soydoisav, the true laws, Nishtadel, Lahasig, Gam, Anofecha, Usifecha, we are on our own, can work to understand, to achieve, to attain the branches, the smaller halachas. Now we come to the section, Ki mitziyoin, She'shom, Yeshu, Hasanhedrin, Umorei Hados. Notice a third translation for these words. We started with the Mitzudais that refers to Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam will teach us. We then went to the Radak, and he says it refers to. I already forgot what it says. The Radak, the Vyareinu. Who's going to teach us? Didn't say Hashem. He says Vyareinu, Midrachov. Alright, the Melech HaMashiach. Right? The Melech HaMashiach will teach us. Exactly. The Melech HaMashiach. And now we come to the Malbim, the third pshat, the Sanhedrin, and the Yorei Hadas, the teachers. Doesn't say Hashem. Doesn't say the Hashem through Klal Yisrael, the Malbim, the Mitzudos. Doesn't say the Melech HaMashiach. It means the Sanhedrin and the people that are the professional teachers. They will teach us. Very interesting. There goes forth Torah l'chol ha'olam, to the entire world. Good question. Where is the Torah going forth from? Ki mitzioin teitzei soira. Where is it going? Where? Only to where? Where is it being broadcast? Is it only being broadcast in Yerushalayim? Uzahav haaretz ahi toivo. Only in Yerushalayim, the ear HaKodesh, the whole Eretz Yisrael, where does the broadcast of Torah, where does the signal weaken? So he writes explicitly in his understanding, go to the entire world. Udvar Hashem, Shudvar HaNavuah. Now we have now finally someone told us the difference between the word, told us the difference between these two expressions. Ki mitzion teitzei seira, that's Torah. Udvar Hashem is Navuah. There's a world of a difference between Nevuah and Torah. Okay, a world of a difference. Okay, Torah, Lav, Bashamayim, He. They are mutually exclusive. Nevuah only comes from Shamayim. These two items, according to the way he explains the Malbim, it's incredible. These are two completely different principles. There's Nevuah, and there's Torah. Torah is a grassroots project. Okay, Torah, we have the Torah. Moshe brought the Torah down to us. Read the Aleph Beis. Learn the Aleph Beis. Read what it says. We have a tradition to understand how the Torah is meant to be understood. We have Klalim, the Yud, the Gimel, the Shatar, the Dreshes. We have a Mesorah. And if you have an issue, how to deal with a new halachic dilemma, is a new technology in this world, you want to know, is there ribbis? When it comes to bitcoins, So, is there a din ribis? Really, good question. Is there a din ribis on bitcoins? I want to borrow from you 100 bitcoins. How much money that is? $100,000, $200,000. Okay, I want to go borrow 200,000 bitcoins. I'll pay you back 300 bitcoins. Is that ribis? Think about it. Is that really ribis? That's not. What is bitcoin? What is bitcoins? What are they? There's never been anything like this until now. Something totally invisible, has no backing. It's just pure trust. It's all based on things in thin air. The government doesn't even know. Yeah, it's talking true. You should know talk is true. You know how it all works. Mining, how do you know? It's a free up on Bitcoin. So how you to mine Bitcoins and blockchains. I have a friend who works in this. He works for a bank. The government is petrified. Literally petrified. They're tittering. The Department of the Treasury of the United States, they don't know what to do with themselves. They're tittering. This whole new world of cryptocurrency is taking over the world, and it's shaking up the world economy. Russia's almost whole economy now is becoming based on bitcoins because they don't have anything else. Okay, they don't have anything else. So is there ribis? Who says there's ribis? There's a din ribis when it comes to cryptocurrency. There's no mamashus. It's where it used to be. Money, what was money? Kesev, vizav, it had real value. Today, then America was mechadesh. They have in Fort Knox, you have the real gold and silver, whatever, and the money represents, and now they're not even that. Now it's just based on the economy, but there is still some balance. There is still precious metals. I don't know how the economy works, but it's very complicated. Now to make it even more complex, so how do you deal with that? These are very difficult questions. How do you deal with that? So what, you expect in Hashemayim a Navi to tell you that in the Bezdin Shalmaila they had a discussion and they issued a Psak Halacha? It does make one bit of a difference what they say in Shemayim. Torah Lav Bashemayim. The Psak must come from the Bezdin Shalmata. Any new technology, any new halachic issues cannot be decided in Shemayim. It's purely based upon the thinking of man. The way man comes to his conclusion based on the majority of the Sanhedrin, the Zehu. Nevuah, you can stand on your head. We don't care what you have to say. Nevuah, you want to say prophecy? Prophecy comes from the source. Comes from the Rebbe. These are two different concepts that are mutually exclusive and as mutually exclusive as it can possibly get. And here in one pasuk, we bring them together. Ki mitzayin teitse soira. There's a koyach of kedusha which allows a person to have success in Torah, lasuke shmeitza, aliva de hilchasa, only in Yerushalayim. That's the base. Udvar Hashem. And likewise, we learned that many times, a Navi can only say, Nevuah has to start. You have exceptions. The Navim, they said Nevuah outside of Bavel, Yechezkel. But the Chazal answer, he started. You have to start off your career, get your license in Eretz Yisrael before you're able to continue to say Nevuah outside Eretz Yisrael. Now, if you were writing this pasuk and you use that translation, I'm willing to bet my bottom buck, everyone over here in this room would write, Ki mitzioin teitze devar Hashem u'mishalayim Torah. Whatever, I have to figure out how to write it and say it correctly. You would put first the devar Hashem, nevuah, and second, you would put Torah. Because in the world history, that's world history.
That's how it
was. It was first nevuah. The Avos were Nevi'im, Hashem spoke to them, and they were prophets. And later, Moshe was the greatest Navi, Moshe was the Av HaNevi'im. And then Moshe, 40 days after Yitzias Mitzrayim, he went to Shemayim, he brought down the Torah. So if we were writing this pasuk, according to the Parish of the Malbim, we would certainly put the Devar Hashem first. And then we would make mention of Teitse Soira. And yet, isn't it shocking that here, the order is reversed. Ki mitzioin teitze, first comes Torah, and then comes the Devar Hashem. And the question is why? Yeah?
Don't we say that the Torah was first, because Baruch Hu looked in the Torah and then built the world? Something like that.
Okay, that's one answer. Very, I like what you say. Is that it's in hindsight. You see, we're dealing over here, we're dealing here by Achris Hayomim.
Right.
We're not, in Achris Hayomim, we look back, we're able to look back in hindsight with 20/20 vision. And then in a chenami, then it becomes, the flavor becomes first Torah. For example, classic example, is the order, the letters of the Aleph Beis. So we start with Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hey Shabbos. What are the letters in Shabbos? Tikanta Shabbos Rotsisa Karbonasecha Tzivisa Perushecha. The letters go backwards. Tashrat. You go backwards. Why are we going backwards? So there are different answers to this explanation. Some say in Shemayim, the letters of the Aleph Beis, that's how they are. This is a world like a mirror image of Shemayim. So therefore in Shemayim, the first letter is a Tav. And on this world, the first letter is an Aleph. But on another level is Shabbos represents the end of days. Right? Chazal, there are 6,000 years. Ki elef shonim b'einecha ki yoyim esmol. The same way Hashem created the world in 6 days, it was meant to be the world to be in existence the way we know it for 6,000 years. And then comes Shabbos. Shabbos is me'ein oylam haba. And Shabbos is the zman when you're able to reflect backwards. You reflect, when you reach Shabbos, now you can sit and read, wow, look what happened this week. Look what happened. You can review, and all the pieces come together. It represents, going backwards represents your ability to reflect and absorb the lessons of the past. Yeah.
There's also the theme that we see a lot, to bring back the old days. Chadesh Benin Kedem.
Excellent. Chadesh Benin Kedem. Excellent. Right. Chadesh Benin Kedem. So it should not be to us as a surprise that, I mean, the question is a good, the question really, you know, we only have this question when you read the words of the Malbim, that Ki Mitzayim Teitzei Seira is Torah, U'Dvar Hashem is Nevuah. These two items are hugely exclusive, and the order appears to be reversed. And, well, when we understand that we're describing the Zman of the Acharis Hayom, Yimayis HaMashiach, that's right. In Yimayis HaMashiach, it's Shabbos. And Shabbos is Tikanta Shabbos Ratzisa Kabbalasecha. We view things differently. Our vision is very different. And we're going to start first with Torah, which is Torah Lava Shamayim. And then we'll think about Nevuah, which is the exclusive domain of Shamayim. Yeah.
We feel that Torah is greater than Nevuah. Am I right?
Yet, even though, but you go in steps. That's correct. We because since Torah is lava shemayim, it's given to man. It's a chiddush. Exactly. But you have to go into the steps, and the steps are first. The order is first. Hashem created the Torah. Hashem created the shemayim, the heavenly, the pamal yishlamayla, and then He decided to create this world over here, and in this Torah itself. What is the order? Nevuah existed before Torah existed. So if you want to go in chronological order, it's Nevuah, and then it's Torah. But when you're reflecting backwards, and you're appreciating the greatness of the world, it still requires more of a hesber. Why, when you reflect, you go backwards, but that then it's a different order. Yeah?
We're talking about Goyim.
Okay.
The Goyim cannot understand the details
of Nevuah. You're saying very good. I hear what you're saying.
That's why they say Derech and Orach. So he said, Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah is what we heard about the Torah. It's a Aseret Adibrot and this. And then the Sanhedrin, first we listen to the Torah. The second one, Dvar Hashem is a Torah Shebar Peh. They are Sanhedrin. They will explain what does it mean, a Torah Hazot Shanachulam. We know, Kabel Tavicha V'timecha. What does it mean? So Dvar Hashem will come from Yerushalayim, near Sanhedrin. They will explain what it means, the Torah.
The crux of what you're saying is that, who is saying this Pasuk? So the Malbim is following the Mitzudais. The composer of these words are the Goyim, not the Navi. Oh, so the Meila, a non-Jew who has no connection to prophecy, has to first go through the steps. First is Torah. You can touch it. We have it. You can study the Torah. And then when they will be elevated, then they will merit to hear words of prophecy from the Melech HaMashiach. Klal Yisrael, who was the Bereishis, the Shvil Yisrael, Shnikra Reishis, the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, they're already starting out on an exalted level. They were given first Nevuah, and then they were given the Torah. But this Pasuk was said by the Goyim. The Goyim, according to...
Like the Goyim come to Hillel, tell Abdenit, kol HaTorah al regel achat. What does it mean? Torah. It doesn't mean Torah.
It doesn't mean the... Right, exactly. Right. Excellent. But then this answer, though, what you're saying is so good, but it only explains the Mitzudos. It creates a problem for the... For the Radak. The Radak that says that who is the composer of these words? The Navi. Oh, the Navi. So then, why did the Navi... It's almost an independent statement. Not really, because the Navi is speaking from their perspective. The Navi is speaking about the perspective of the Goyim. But you see, you're coming to limit it then. You're coming to because of the Malm didn't say from their perspective. The Goyim, they say it's time for us to learn Torah. And now the Navi comments, Baruch Hashem, the world has achieved Shlemus, ki mitzioin teitzei sara drasha mimshlem. You get the impression from the Malbum that the Navi is just expressing satisfaction from the Radak. Satisfaction. He's not necessarily saying a pasuk from their perspective. If you want to assume that the Radak is going to learn like the Malbim and say that Teitzei Tzair is Torah, Dvar Hashem is Nevuah, and then you're getting into trouble. Because then, why is you're limiting, at least on a very simple level, according to this interpretation, that the Navi is saying something from the perspective of the Goyim, which diminishes, I feel, to a degree, the message of the Pasuk. Because if not for this idea, you would say the Navi is just making a general statement. A general statement about, from Hashem's perspective, that the world now has achieved Shlemus. Ki mitzion teitzei sedo dvar Hashem miyushlem. It's probably the way the average person who says this pasuk thinks. They're not thinking about the Goyim at all. Whether they said it or the Navi is saying from their perspective, they're thinking more like the Radak. The Navi is the one who's saying this. And forget about the Goyim. Just talk about the world in general. So then we have a good question. Why is the order reversed? Okay, so we try to suggest the Tashrach, going backwards. But he learned that it's the Goyim who are speaking, or it's the Navi that is speaking from the perspective of the Goyim. Then it makes a lot of sense. Very good. You're saying unbelievable. Because in the Goyim, they're not at a level where they can jump immediately to Nevuah. They have to go in stages. First, let's read what it says inside. Then let me tell you what the tradition, what the interpretation is. Little by little, you'll come to appreciate the Dvar Hashem. But first, we have to start with the basics. Excellent.
Yeah, that's why I think the whole pasuk is one complete thought.
Yeah. Well, that's the question. That's the question.
The Torah Shabbat, we're going to teach, but they still only get it as Bnei Chabiyar Chosa. They're going to go on Torah Shabbat Tzav. And therefore, why? Because Kimitzion Teitzei Sora, the Dvar Hashem in Yerushalayim, they don't, only Jews get it, they don't get it.
Okay? Now, also, according to this interpretation, Yerushalayim, also very interesting, the words of the Malbim, Yerushalayim, Shanevim, Yimotsu, Becholuyer. Yerushalayim, we always discuss this idea, what is the difference between Yerushalayim and Tzion? So here, Yerushalayim, according to the Malbim, that's where you're going to find the people. Since Dvar Hashem refers to Nevuah, who, where are the Nevi'im living? They live inside the physical boundaries of Yerushalayim. Because as we learn many times, Hashem does not give prophecy outside of Yerushalayim. But when it comes to Torah, generally, we'll work now this moment with the approach that Tzion represents the spiritual neshama, the neshama of Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim represents the physical bricks and stones of Yerushalayim. Okay, that's one of the most popular perush there. Many perush there. A few days ago we discussed this. But the simplest perush at Tzion is like the neshama of Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim is the physical bricks and stones. Bricks and mortar, whatever you want to call it. Wooden stones. So where are the prophets living? Well, in an apartment or in a home. Somewhere inside the walls of Yerushalayim with wooden bricks, wooden stones. But when it comes to the spiritual essence, the koyach, the haftorah, the ability, the siyata, the shmaya person has to learn and study, and lasuke shmait saliba de hilchasa, that goes forth from the neshama of this holy dwelling place called, what we call Yerushalayim. So it fits very well, according to the Malbim, over here we have been woken up to so many amazing perushim in this pasuk. Okay, let's break tradition and read over here the Mari Kara and Ebeleza Mibojan Se. I say that correctly? Mibojan Si. Mibojan Si, almost. Okay, Mibojan Si. Okay, let's do the Mari Kara, because this pasuk is such a famous pasuk. It will be a chaval not to see what it says here in the other commentators, especially around the page. Look over here, the Mari Kara, Aleph and Beis, Har Beis Hashem Nachon B'Shachon. Going back to the previous pasuk, Kineged Shomar Lamala V'Har B'Habayis L'Bamos Yar Chaz Avem Akan Yiyeh Har Beis Hashem Nachon B'Shachon V'Nisan Migvoyis V'Har Olaf. We had the same exact parish in one of the other commentators. B'Mokam Shavdu Shemagoyim Es Elohim Al Harim Hagvoyis Achshav Yimayim Asun Ish Es Elohav V'Amu B'Libam. Okay, now they're going to reject their idols. They're going to go and they're going to say L'chu V'Nale El Har Hashem, the Elbeis Elokei Yaakov, Yerenu Midracha Vinilcha Be'orcha Yisrof, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sara, Teitzei L'shoin Hoivehu. Okay, so that's an important Ora, Ki Mitzion Teitzei B'lashoin Hoiveh. It's not very, very powerful. Torah was not just given back in the day at Mount Har Sinai. When was the Torah given to Klal Yisrael? So he asked the average person, when was the Torah given to Klal Yisrael? Oh, I don't know, back 3,000 years, whatever it was. Har Sinai, Hashem gave us the Torah, put it in the box. All these rabbis came along with a lot of books. There it is. No, that's wrong. Every single day, b'chol yom tia b'enecha hi kil chadoshos. There are multiple mamari chazal that bring out this point. I don't remember anything at this moment. But at least over here it says we're Teitzei. We have at least in front of us one Maimon Chazal, Teitzei, B'loshoin Hoiveh. The Torah Hashem is continuously giving. What?
That word is not Hoiveh.
He says it is. I'm not going to argue with Marie Kara.
They would say it.
Yetzei, Ki Mitzion Yetzei would be Osid, and Ki Mitzion Yotza would be the past tense, right? Yotza is the past tense.
Right.
Yetze is the future tense.
It's and not here.
Because
it's feminine. It's
Teitzei is future. Teitzei, so it could be that it's both. It could be that Teitzei with the Tav, there are many times they have that in Tikduk, is we only wanted to refer to the future and not mislead us. And we should not be misled to think that referring to the past. So you can't stay with the yud, because the yud Torah is nikeva. So yud is masculine. It would be a violation. Mixing of the tenses. Mixing of the genders. You can't, right. So you're correct. You can't say ki mitzion yetze soira. Because soira is nikeva, and yetze is zocha. Correct? You can't do that. That's a violation. So what would be a solution? Ki mitzion toy what? No, you can't say the yud. The yud is masculine.
Yotzeit.
Oh, yotzeit. Okay, yotzeis. Yotzeis. That's the answer. Ki mitzion yotzeis, Sarah. that
Yotzeis,
excellent. Ki mitzion Yotzeis Seira. That's what the pasuk should have said in the future, or ki mitzion Yotzos in the past, 3,000 years ago. Ki mitzion Yotzos. Teitzei, you are correct. It's the future, if I'm not right, because of the soft, but also allows itself to be understood as the present. Many times you have that. Rashi Chumash, many times it says this word. It's two things. There are certain words in grammar can mean the present and the future. Occasionally can mean the past also. It can be the present and the past. I'm not sure. I don't know the rules of grammar.
Depends on whether you pronounce it.
But in this example, there would have been a better word to refer to the past, the future. The Navi selected with precision the word Teitzei, which the Mari Karas picked up upon to indicate that it's the present. Every single moment, there is a new revelation, a new shefa, a spiritual gift that allows a person to learn, to study, and be mechadesh in divrei Torah.
Well, incredible. It's referring to the goyim. If it's referring to the goyim, then it would be a future.
No, not that. No. Even if the goyim come to appreciate that, the goyim will one day compose. We had two approaches. The goyim one day will come to this realization. The one who composed these words, they have not yet been composed. The goyim will compose these words with the recognition that every single moment Torah is coming forth. Every single moment, it's new, it's fresh. And if the Navi is the one that is saying these words, he's just making a statement, Ki Mitzion Teitzei, every single moment in time, Torah comes forth. It's alive. It's not something that was. It's not something that will be. It's in the present. It's a tremendous concept, incredible concept. We appreciate the renewal. HaMechadesh B'tuvoi B'chol Yoim Tamid. Ein Toiv Elo Torah. We don't appreciate this principle, but that's what Chazal say. Every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates, he bestows upon this world a special supernatural gift which allows the mind, which is purely choymer, which is mundane, which is physical, to be able to comprehend the holy words of the Torah. If Hashem just gave the Torah once at Har Sinai, and that was it, curtains, we would not be able to study Torah. It would be just too complicated. There are many stories you have of brilliant, brilliant, brilliant people, the Nobel Prize winners. I mean, the most brilliant of the brilliant, and you speak to them in learning, they just don't get it. They just, what? There are stories, there are documented stories. They just don't. You told them a svara in the Gemara. You try to present them a svara. You talk to them a lumdish a svara. You learn them a daf Gemara. Take a goy. They study a daf Gemara, and they cannot say, everything they say is krum. What do you mean everything they say is corrupt? They're brilliant people. These are people who have invented things that we live with every single day. There are documented sorts. I don't have them in front of me. I can't tell you. But over the years, you've heard different examples of this principle.
That's when your father's class, he gave my sons who had him for economics. They said that he would, on Sunday, what the class that they had at the beginning of the week was what the ethicist would say in the Times magazine. How, and they gave the question and answer.
Yeah, but that's because
it differs from Torah logic, and it's
they're not even learning Torah. But let's say you would take a genius and you would sit, let's learn a Daf Gemara. Take the art scroll, let's go through a Daf Gemara.
Yeah.
And a fellow is brilliant beyond belief. You would be very surprised, this is what they tell us, that They just don't get it. You have to work with them and work. Yes, that's right. You would be surprised. Why would you be surprised? Because there's something divine. There is something divine about the Torah. And that divinity demands a degree of spirituality, a receptor that has a spirituality that's able to accept this divinity. A Jew who is a holy person has a bris milah and his parents that and is a descendant of people who stood at Har Sinai, they have the antennas, the spiritual capacity to absorb this divine wisdom. It just seems very simple to you. You just read the Gemara, right? You read the Gemara, go step by step. Okay, it's very simple. Obviously, there are different levels of depth. Look, the Avishol Salanter, it's well known, Avishol Salanter, he very much wanted in his lifetime to translate, to elucidate the entire Shas. Way before Art Scroll, way before Cincino, he very much wanted to put together a team of Talmidei Chachamim, and we have a lot of fun when someone comes later. I'm very sorry.
Yeah. No, he's just
going to
sit over here.
He wanted to put together a team. Why? What do you say? In order the Goyim should appreciate the brilliance.
German, right?
Whatever language. I don't know. I think in German. I believe you are correct. I think in German. Right. He moved around a lot. Rabbi Shaul Salanter throughout his life, he traveled. He moved around a lot of places. And I think that, I'm not sure. Could be at that point he was in German. He moved around a lot of places. He didn't spend any place, any location too long. But he wanted the Goyim. Why? He wanted the Goyim to appreciate the Chochmah of the Torah. Now, there are two questions right away. Always bought. Number one is, there's a prohibition to teach a Goy Torah. Right? There's a prohibition to teach Nasahawazim. So the answer they give is, well, you're not allowed to teach. But on their own, they can study. Number two is this principle we just said. A guy, Torah has a certain sanctity which does not make it, which is very sensitive and does not allow its wisdom to be found in the heads of a non-Jew or someone that's not holy. So a guy doesn't have that, those receptors. So obviously, like what you're saying, there are different levels. Okay? There are different degrees. There are different degrees of sanctity that are necessary to relate to Torah. I guess maybe what it means at a very simple level is you're not going to have a guy and learn a daf Gemara and have him compose she'elois u'tshuvas. You're not going to have Rav Moshe. Take a guy who's the biggest genius in the world and have him force him to study Kol HaTorah Kula and now present him with a new modern-day shaila. Modern-day shaila regarding bitcoins. Something that never existed in history until now. Okay, what do we do now? Paskin the halacha. So this guy is going to have to go be medami me inyin li'in ba'isa and you go and be medami and go through ganshas and know what does Tosfos say here and Rashi say here and go look at the Rosh and the Rif and try to give you das Torah. A halachic decision based upon the Torah that a guy will never be able to do. Maybe a guy will be able to go through the Shach of Ataria. Maybe not even that. I don't know. I really don't know. But there is a tradition. There is a tradition that Torah is a divine wisdom. And being that it's a divine wisdom, it requires the receiver has to be elevated spiritually to merit to accept this divine wisdom. And a non-Jew, by definition, does not have that ability. Oh, but what's the big deal? Read the Art Scroll, right? What's the big deal? Read the Art Scroll. You know what it says. Yes, correct. You can read the Art Scroll, but there is more to it than just knowing what it says.
The vast majority of Jews don't have that spiritual...
No, they have the potential.
Okay, so he's going to the other extreme now. He's saying even the Jews can't understand what it says in the Daf Gemara. Okay. So he's going to the other. I have to have extremes over here, right? Extremes. It's a problem. What you're saying is true also. Many children, it's a very big problem. Many children in yeshiva, you know, you can sit through some tutoring. You can sit and you repeat it 1,000 times, they just don't get it. So why don't they get it? I don't know. They're smart kids.
But like you said, there is potential. There is an innate.
It's a problem. That's right. That's right. It's a problem. That is correct. It's true. It's true. Like he's saying, there's potential. There is potential. A non-Jew lacks that potential. He may be able to rattle off Baal Peh Daf Gemara, but one thing, L'chor, he's not going to be able to give you a psak halacha. He's not going to have that siyata d'shmaya to connect, to understand the divine wisdom, lasuke shmaitza aliba d'hilchasa. L'chor, at least, it means at least that much.
On some level, this, to what you said last week, the difference between the Rishpah and the Kiva, they don't want you to lose. Rabbi Kiva was, he wasn't a frum from birth, and therefore, he wasn't the same type of person. In other words, he didn't start until he was 40, so...
No, he was frum from birth.
No,
he wasn't a Tam Chacha,
by the way. Yeah, what I mean is, he just wasn't on the same level of thinking until later on.
Later in life.
When he came around to it, and that accounted for his difference of opinion between Rabbi Shmuel was more Rachamim and he was more a Chova.
You think that contributed? That you think, I didn't say that.
I know you didn't say it. That's a chiddush.
To say that because he started later in life, that contributed to why he was at odds. His thought process was at extreme odds with Rabbi Shmuel. We have the Medrash Halacha. Okay, interesting idea.
That's an idea.
It's an idea.
What about a ger? A ger, Alshech.
A ger has the kedush. He's a Jew. A ger has kedush. What's to talk about? A ger, he converts. He's given the sanctity. He's given the sanctity of being a full-fledged Jew. He is neshama. It's a Kabbalah already. His neshama was Har Sinai. But he's given that sanctity of being a Jew, so he's no different than any other Jew. Yeah?
So that's what I wanted to say. Your point would be again.
Yeah?
When he became a Jew,
sanctity is elevated. Absolutely. Absolutely. Without question. That's a basic emunah. A guy who converts, he's now given the sanctity of a Jew, all the rights and privileges, the siyata d'shmaya, the ability to be a receptacle for the divine wisdom.
What did Mari Carr say about the future and the present?
The present, yeah.
She say usually is nikdu,
okay.
Is future.
Okay.
I think Goyim said, let's go to Yerushalayim because in the future it's going to come.
It's already the future.
No, because the Torah is
it's already the future.
Now, it's a continuation. Every kid that goes after high school, they go to Yerushalayim, say, why? Not because they'd say in the future, because
you're now, right now, so it has to be Lashon HaYaveh. That can possibly mean the future, but since the context of where they're saying it is we go, we have to go now.
It's coming from.
It has to be correct. Very good. It has to be. It has to be because that's the context of the story. But still, the principle is also a very powerful principle: is that Torah is constantly the spiritual essence of Torah. Is continuously renewed every single day. That also accounts for a very mysterious principle, is why is it that it's not true anymore today, maybe it is to a very small degree, not in the world of halacha, maybe in the world of minog, where you do find halacha, I'm saying something very controversial now, changes. I'll give you two very simple examples. Number one is tefillin. Today, we make a bracha only on the tefillin of Rashi. There's no posek that I'm aware of that allows the person to make a bracha on the tefillin shel Rabbeinu Tam. But it appears, I can't tell you chapter and verse, but this I saw this more than one source, is that it appears at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, before Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, there's no question about it, there was both types of tefillin. There was a tefillin that the parashos were in the order of Rashi and the order of Rabbeinu Tam. It appears that the Hamoinam wore tefillin like Rabbeinu Tam. And they made a bracha on the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam only. And then, when Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam came along, about 800, 900 years ago, all of a sudden it became the halacha. We're now going to only follow the tefillin that are written in the order which we call today tefillin of Rashi. What changed? Why did the halacha change? So the answer is, that according to this principle, Torah is being given, the Shefa of Torah coming down to this world is continuous.
Ongoing.
It's ongoing. It wasn't just, it was given by Har Sinai. If it was given at Har Sinai, and then it was given, you have to wear the tefillin like Rashi, or like Rabbeinu Tam, you're done. You're not going to change today. Mashahoya kvar hoya. But if the koyach of Torah, which includes La Suke Shmaitza, you have the Suke, you have all the material, and you can conclude, read the Gemara. There are two ways to read the Gemara. You read the Gemara like Rashi, you read the Gemara like Tosfos. The Gemara is basically the Mesorah. So if Torah is continuously being given every single day anew, in Shamayim, it could very well be that the Shefa, the bestowal of this spiritual power to understand is different today than it was before. Now, today, nothing's going to change anymore today. That's for sure, because today we don't have people on the caliber that are able to make new decisions. It's already etched in stone. But in the time of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, there was no Shulchan Aruch. There was no codified book of Halacha. All they had was the Gemara. And every rabbi read the Gemara. You have a Mesorah, okay? You have the Mesorah, you have Ravina Rav Ashi, who was written, the Rabbanan Savaroi, and the Ge'oinim that preserved the Mesorah of how to understand the Gemara. But there was still room, there was still definitely room, La Suke Shmaitza Aliba de Hilchasa, to come out with a conclusion in Halacha. And being that Torah is continuously being given over and over again, who says that the power of Torah is not exactly the same? When Torah was given, it was given whatever it means, in a certain type of frequency, okay, just to make up some words. And then when it was given the next day, it's a different frequency. And that came out in different eras of Jewish history of following a different set of laws. Halacha was decided differently. Again, today it can't happen anymore. I'll give you another example. Halacha is very good. You're right. You're saying very good. Halacha means to move. Halacha is not omed. Halacha is not etched in stone. How could that be? Well, because that's Suke Shmaitza, the Shefa. I'll give you another very simple example, is the time of the Crusades. When you learn the keynotes, what did the parents do to the children? They slaughtered them. The parents saw that their child in a few moments would be taken by the Christians and sent to a missionary and be converted into good Catholics, into good Christians. So what did the parents do? The parents says, better my child die than my child be given over to the Christians. And they took out a knife and they slaughtered their children. Now, later in history, that wasn't the only time, Rachmana Lisson, when you had these type of stories. Later in history, when there was situations similar to this, there was no rabbi, go even 200-300 years later, maybe a little more, that would tell a parent, yeah, take out a knife and slaughter your children. The halacha changed. The halacha changed. Halacha is, let them take the kid to the missionary, and whatever it is. Don't go take the life, don't let them take the life of your child. So you'll tell me, well, the circumstances are different? Maybe not. Maybe it was a different way of thinking, a different way of coming to a halachic conclusion. Because when we read about what they did during the Crusades, this, the first time you read about it, you're shocked out of your mind. How in the world could a parent slaughter their own children? So let them let the kids at least live. So there'll be hope for them. Maybe, you know, tomorrow things will change. We'll be able to get them back. You're just totally shocked. And yet this was the halacha. This is what it appears, that the Gedolei Yisrael decided to give halachic guidance to the people to let them take your children is Yehoreg Val Yavar, literally, slaughter your children. Today, what we think, the circumstances have changed? Maybe. That, I think, is a bit more naive to say that. I think it's because today, there's a different way of looking at things. There's a different approach. Why is it a different approach? Because Torah is given every single day anew. And the Shefa the spiritual essence which allows the human being to comprehend the Torah and to understand it and to reach a conclusion is not the same today that it was years ago. Now, there's many things, probably 99.9% of the things, it doesn't really make a difference what we think anymore today, because once we already have the Shulchan Aruch and it's been handed and it's already sealed, so too bad for you, you can reach your own conclusion, too bad. It's already too late at this point in time in history. But not everything is like that. Talk about minhagim, talk about hashkafa. Okay, talk about what to look at the world today. Today, the whole approach, the world pretty much has gone to the right to a certain degree. Or maybe you'll say it's polarized. Polarized. There are segments that have gone way to the left, much more than in the past. And there are groups that have gone much, much more to the right. It's much, much harder today to find middle ground. Why only 20, 30 years ago was it not so hard to find middle ground? It's because Torah is given fresh every single day. And when a person studies Torah, it triggers a certain way of thinking. It affects you. And you reach certain conclusions about what is the proper way to live your life according to the values of the Torah. How come your grandparents did differently than you? Well, it was different times. So what was different times? It's the same Torah. No, it's not. It's the same Torah, but Torah is divine. And you need to have the receptacle, the spiritual receptacles to receive that Torah. And being that it's given, that spirituality is renewed every single day, it's different. What they're sending down to this world every single day is not the same like what they're sending down yesterday. And you take this little glimpse into that idea from the Mahari Kara, where he says, Ki mitzion teitse, doesn't say yoitzeis, doesn't say yotze'o, it says teitse, which is v'loshoyin hoive, the present tense, every day. There's a new spiritual, and that affects everything in Yados. It's a very, very, very important yisoid.
Is that the concept of harashah that you're saying?
No, harashah does not work with the rules of halacha. You know, we're working now in the world of halacha. Harashah is, there are certain times when Chazal have the ability to say, put aside what it says in Shulchan Aruch, exceptional circumstances. That's not, we're talking about day-to-day living. Day-to-day living, we see things change. Okay, let's stop here.
Sinai, the brother of the Maral of Prague. It's the Yahrzeit of the Rav Lelver of Yerushalayim. The daughter of Rav Lelver.